But we still praise the Lord anyways, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. It's great to be here this evening. Welcome everybody that's here and those of us that are online. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Breathe. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. Your very words spoken to me, and I desperate for you. I'm lost without you.
Lord, use our voices. Lord, use
A Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory, beneath a cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. And praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody have a pick of him this evening? A tune you've been thinking of this week? Anybody, anybody? Let's see if I can find one here, too. Wonderful Grace of Jesus on 338. We could do that one. Wonderful Grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me, broader than the scope of my transgression, sing it, greater far than all my sin and shame, oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me, broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled, by its transforming power, making him God's dear child, purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful, the matchless grace, the matchless grace of Jesus. Deeper than the mighty rolling sea, the rolling sea. Higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain. All sufficient grace for even me, for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgression, sing it. Greater far than all my sin and shame, my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise his name. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you look at the chorus, there's two different ways you can sing it, two different parts, and both of them aren't represented on screen. Yeah.
Well, good to see each and every one of you. Those of you with us online, good to have you tonight. Amen. And those of you here this evening, spring break week, just a few of us here tonight, but that's all right. The word goes out. Amen. Devil don't take no spring break. He don't take no spring break, bro. He's just got to keep on going, man. Amen. Give me two on the prayer request. I'm going to pray for them tonight. So just a few of us in here. So what do we have? What do we have? Prayer requests or praises. Either one, brother.
It's hot. Praise is that, we're doing a lot of outreach this year.
Yep.
One thing that we're starting the fourth Saturday of every month, from 6 to 9, game night. So bring a friend. We're going to have food. People bring snacks. Saturday of every month.
Fourth Saturday of every month.
Game night.
What
and,
time?
6 to 9.
6 to 9.
And two prayer requests put in the other column. Gene is going in the hospital tomorrow morning. And he has to be there at 6. They're getting a scope going up to checking his bladder out.
Oh.
And checking that growth out, see
yep.
if it's, how that cancer is doing. And on Friday, Paul McCormick is going in. He's having prostate surgery.
Okay.
Friday morning.
All right. Gene's having a cancer check. That's tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay. And Paul McCormick is having prostate surgery on Friday. All right. Got it. All right, what else? What else? Any other prayer needs? Yes, sir.
From Sharon Heibarger, Justin has multiple stress fractures in both legs below the knees from running full out. He's being moved to the recovery division for 10 weeks of rest and PT, then try again. Please pray for healing.
Yeah, amen. All right, we will. Outstanding. What else? What else? Anybody else got a prayer need? What you got, brother?
Lily Williams. She was under the weather on Sunday.
Okay, Lily Williams.
I haven't called her this week, but I will.
Amen, brother. We got it. What else? Anything else? Yes, sir.
I guess just for my insurance situation, that they make a decision on the car and that I can either get it fixed or that God directs me to the correct vehicle. Beyond this one.
Jeremiah. Insurance, car, and wisdom. Amen, amen. Yeah, man. Tell it to me, brother. I'll repeat it. If it's short. I don't know how short you can make it. Yeah. Sid Fancher. Yeah. Goes to the Presbyterian Church. A former Baptist in a Presbyterian Church. Blows my livid mind, but go for it. All right. I'm for it. My wife got saved in a Presbyterian Church, so I believe in it. No, you go. Sid Fancher. Had a stroke. Doing a lot better. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. Right. Right. Yeah. Oh, no. Oh. What's his wife's name? Okay, so he's a widower. All right, all right. All right. And Sid's 86? It's 85. Okay. All right, amen. Amen, amen. All right. Well, I'm going to pray for him. Yeah. And what Presbyterian church did you go to? St. David's. Presbyterian. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, what you got, John? Running back. Need some sleep? Need sleep. Amen. Amen, amen. I need that extra hour of sleep I gave up. You know how long it takes me to get over that, don't you? 6 months till they flip it back. And then I get over it. Yeah, I don't like it one bit. We say just leave it alone. I don't like the spring forward. No, I say fall back and leave it. Well, whatever. Just do something and leave it alone. Yeah, leave it alone. I guess we could move to where is Arizona? They don't do it. Move to Arizona. They don't do it. I don't know. I don't know if it was a farmer's or not. I think it was a bunch of misguided politicians is what I think. I don't think them farmers give a rip. I don't think they care. Ronnie, you got something else? Yes, sir. All right, Alita dental work. Not my favorite thing. All right. Nothing bad yet. Spring Breakers. And then we've got this missing person we're going to pray for. Kay Alana Turner says she's having manic episode and may be easily agitated. She was last seen in the pink dress pictured above. I have a picture here. And she's been missing for quite a few days. No, she's actually from Beaumont. She was last seen in Harris County. Yep. But we want to pray for her tonight. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Amen? Dear Jesus, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you that we can bring our petitions and these praises tonight. Thank you, Lord, for our church and their desire to reach out and have extended fellowship, Lord, and do different things to try to draw visitors in and try to draw community in, Lord. We pray that you would send to this congregation, Lord, the people that you would have be a part of it. Lord, we're praying for people that would come and serve here, come and participate here, Lord, come and sacrificially give here, God. We're praying for folks that want to be a blessing. So, Lord, we pray you send them far and wide, Lord. There are some in churches where the Bible's not being preached and Jesus is not being lifted up, the cross is not being lifted up. And, Lord, we don't want to proselytize anybody, but, Father God, we pray those folks will be able to find a good church home where the Bible, all of it's being preached, the full counsel of God, and, Lord, where you are being lifted up to draw them into yourself. So, Lord, we pray that you would allow us to connect with those folks that so desperately need a church home, if it be thy will, and that, Lord, you would fill this place with people that want to serve you, Lord, people that want to go to work for you, people that want to live your word and see your word preached. And so, God, we're praying for a mighty, mighty work here at New Hope this year, here 2023. Lord, we praise you that people want the thing to grow. People are praying for your church to grow. And, Lord, we just give you the praise and the glory and the honor for allowing us to be a part of what you're doing here. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for our shut-ins. We praise you for them, those that are online with us this evening, and those that go back and periodically watch these services online and pray for us. And, Lord, put in their tithe and their offering, Lord. Thank you for them. And, Lord, we thank you for others that are praying for this congregation and pulling for it. And, Lord, we just pray that you just continue to bless and prosper it here. Lord, as we think about these prayer requests, we lift up Sharon Heibarger to you tonight. We pray for her health, this bladder infection she's suffering with. Lord, we pray that you would touch her body, bring healing to her. We pray for her son, her and Chuck's son, Justin. We pray for his legs. And, Lord, all these micro fractures that he's got going on below the knees, we pray that his 10 weeks of rehabilitation and physical therapy, Lord, would get him where he needs to be so he can do that last physical fitness test and graduate boot camp. So, Lord, we pray and you make a sailor out of that young man. And, Lord, just help him get through this process and just heal his body, rest his body these 10 weeks, Lord, and get him ready. Lift up Paul McCormick to you, having this prostate surgery on Friday. Lord, we pray that would go smooth and everything would be well. We lift up Paul to you as we pray tonight. Lord, we lift up Gene as Gene gets a scope tomorrow to check his bladder cancer. We just pray that everything would go smooth and well there, Lord, and that there not be any kind of extenuating circumstances with his cancer. The cancer's not spreading or growing. Father God, we pray that it's shrinking and diminishing and disappearing. So, Lord, we lift Gene up to you tonight and with his procedure tomorrow. We lift up Lily Williams to you, Lord, in her health. We pray that you might touch her body, bring healing to her, help her with the sickness that she was suffering with on Sunday. So we pray for Miss Lily tonight. We pray for Jeremiah, Lord, and we're thankful for all he does with our PowerPoint and YouTube and music and leading us in worship, Lord. We're thankful for that. But, Lord, we're praying for his car insurance situation. We're praying for his automobile situation, Lord, that if his car is totaled, you lead, guide him, and direct him to the next vehicle he needs to have. And, Lord, we pray that the insurance would treat him right. Give him wisdom, Lord, to negotiate a little bit with his insurance company, get the most he can if they total out his vehicle. Lord, we're just lifting up that situation to you tonight. We pray for Sid Fancher, Frank's friend. And, Lord, we're praying that you might touch his body and help him, Lord, get over these many strokes and micro strokes and things that are continually happening to him, Lord, as he's there in the hospital. We pray, God, if it be your will, you just touch him, heal him, and just get him past this. Give the doctors wisdom, discernment on how best to treat him. And, Lord, we pray for his family, his children, as they're concerned for their father, Lord. We pray that you help them as well. Lift up Ronnie Vaculik to you, Lord. We pray for his peace and rest tonight, Lord. We pray you allow him to get some sleep and just sleep good, have good restorative deep sleep. Let his body heal and rest tonight. Lift up Miss Alita to you tonight with all the dental work she's got going on today and tomorrow. We pray that there'd be no extenuating infections or any kind of, Lord, mistakes, that everything would go smooth and well with that. And, Lord, you would just take any anxiety that she might have from all this dental work. And then, Lord, we pray for all the kids on spring break. We pray, Lord, that they'd make wise decisions, or at least better decisions than what they would have made had we not prayed for them. So, Lord, help them make good, wise decisions. We pray for all the underage drinking, Lord, that there wouldn't be kids that have had too much to drink out on the road, driving cars and trucks and four-wheelers and motorcycles and everything else, Lord. And we just pray that you would protect and help these kids in spite of themselves this spring break. So, Lord, we lift that situation up to you. We're thankful that we can be in your word tonight. Lead, guide us, and direct us, Lord, as we continue to talk about clean and unclean in Leviticus chapter 11. We give you all the praise and glory. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. All right, let's look at these Bibles. We started out last time in Psalms, so let's go back to Psalms, right? We said we'd probably have to read these again, so let's read them again. Psalm 19, verse 9. Amen? Those, you got it? You got that one? Psalm 19, verse 9. It says, the fear of the Lord is clean. All right, it's clean, man. Enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. And then let's go to Psalm 51. Talking to a person this week about the Lord. And they said, you just want to save everybody. And I said, well, I don't save anybody. I just tell the gospel. Jesus does the saving. They go, no, you want to save everybody. I go, I'm not the saver. I'm the teller. Psalm 51, amen? 51:10, you got that one? That's a good one. Everybody knows that one. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Yes, yes? So those are our two passages that we're kind of trying to work towards. Another one we read was Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 16, where Peter in the New Testament became hungry, was up on top of a roof, and the Lord let down a sheet showing him all things that he could eat. They were no longer unclean, but had become clean, all right? So when we ended last time, we were talking about reasons for cleanness or uncleanness. Oh, we got some folks wanting to come in tonight. Reasons for cleanness or uncleanness. We said, guess what? God never tells Israel why something is clean or unclean. He never gives a reason for the definition of clean or unclean. We talked about for centuries, men have tried to give reasons for these definitions of clean and unclean. And I took you through a very detailed discussion of one commentator's attempts to outline four reasons which I think are worthy of mentioning, or worthy of mentioning. We'll go over them just quickly tonight. First, he talked about the cultic explanation. It basically says that certain kinds of creatures were used in pagan and ritual worship, and because of that, God wouldn't allow the Israelites to use those in their worship. But that was kind of not a real good definition, because bulls were used in pagan worship, and they were allowed to use bulls in their worship of Almighty God. Second, we talked about that hygienic explanation, kind of that Bill Gothard thing back in the 70s and 80s. And we talked about how those, you know, things, dirty animals, and we talked about mud bugs, and Loopy confessed going out the door Sunday night that she had eaten some mud bugs before she come to church on Sunday morning. And I told my wife, well, Peter, you know, in Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 16, that's all clean now, man. Mud bugs are clean. Yeah, so my middle daughter's working at a mud bug place in Huntsville close to the campus of Sam Houston. I told my wife, I said, is she working this Friday? Stephanie said, I think she is. I said, well, let's go see her. She goes, you going to eat mud bugs? I said, I may eat one. I'll eat some corn and potatoes, amen. Maybe they have a hamburger there on the menu. I don't know. Hygienic explanation. Third is the symbolic interpretation. In other words, a lot of the things that God says, Moses says here that are unclean are animals that shed blood or animals that feed off the dead of other animals. And so we talked about symbolic interpretation. But then we got to that fourth reason or definition why things are unclean. And that's an arbitrary definition. That's the one we talked about, the arbitrary explanation. It doesn't fully explain all the clean or unclean animals, but this definition at least gives a meaning and it fits when nothing else does. We talked about God's sovereignty. We said it's just God's choice. You know, God is God, amen? And so he gets to have a choice in the matter, amen? So God said he chose Jacob, right? And he rejected Esau. That's his choice. That's his choice, right? Why? Why does he do that? Because he is a sovereign God, amen? Sovereign choices are sovereign choices. They do not have to have reasons. Now, man always wants to know why. Why? What's the reason? What's the reason? But election, friend, predestination, it's just part of it. It's just part of our salvation. And you can be a free willer and you can talk about your free will all you want, but friend, until the Holy Spirit touches you, until the Holy Spirit squeezes your old heart, until you, by the preached word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, finally realize, because the Holy Spirit is leaning in on you, that you're a sinner in need of salvation, you don't get to exercise your free will. I'm telling you, it's both and, it's not either or. These free willers want to talk about free will, and I chose this and I chose that. Well, wait a minute. You were convicted by the Holy Spirit, weren't you? Well, yeah. You sat underneath the preaching of the Word of God, didn't you? Yeah, well, yeah, uh-huh. Okay, well, then the Holy Spirit had something to do with it, amen? There's some election in there, some predestination, right? It's a both and, not an either or. That's why he chose Israel and not the Canaanites, his sovereignty. Yes? Amen? So, reasons for cleanness or uncleanness, which brings me tonight to cleanness or uncleanness in the Old Testament. We want to look at cleanness and uncleanness in the Old Testament from a broader brush view, if you will, kind of a macro view, not a micro view, but a macro out wide. If we were to look at the words of cleanness and uncleanness, then we would discover that clean and unclean are found only in Genesis chapter 7 and 8 with none other than Noah, none other than old Noah. And it is only found with respect to those animals that were brought onto the ark. Remember, there were seven of each species that were clean. At the end of Genesis 8, Noah offered up the clean animals as a sacrifice to God. And so the distinction between clean and unclean is much older than Moses' day, much older. It goes clear back to Noah's day. And Noah did not say to God, clean, unclean, what in the world is that? No, Noah knew what a clean creature was. And he knew what an unclean creature was, and he brought seven of the clean ones so that he could sacrifice them to God. So we can look all the way back to the book of Genesis and understand that anything that was to be offered to God had to be something that was clean. Yes, yes? Amen. So the distinction between clean and unclean begins far earlier than the book of Leviticus. However, it is not until Leviticus chapter 4, which we've already covered in detail, that clean and unclean terminology reappears after Genesis chapter 7 and Genesis chapter 8. And in this great book of Leviticus that I'm coming to love more and more, every Bible study we get to do out of it, clean and unclean are given more substance, and clean and unclean are brought to bear on Israel's worship of God and on Israel's eating habits. And so there is a history of clean and unclean that goes back, way back, beyond the book of Leviticus, beyond the life of Moses. Now, as we think about these concepts, and we think about unclean, cures for uncleanness are spelled out in Leviticus and on through the Old Testament, if you will. In particular, what is interesting is that as we move toward, I love this about the Bible, as we move toward the end of the Old Testament, I don't know why some denominations don't spend a lot of time in the Old Testament. As we move toward the end of the Old Testament period and into the period of the prophets, we discover that the prophets begin to talk about cleanness and uncleanness as something, are you ready for this? As something, not external, but as something internal, rather than something just merely external. That's why we read those two verses out of Psalms before we started. Psalm 19:9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. And David says in 51:10, created me a clean heart. Right? Oh God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Here we see in the Psalms that cleanness becomes something that is more internal inside than it is external. Ultimately, God says, you know what God says? God says that He's going to make the Israelites clean. Something that never was possible through the Old Testament legal system and through the Old Testament sacrificial system, but He was going to make them clean, and it was going to be through the new covenant. Amen? And the coming of His Messiah. Now take your Bibles and turn with me to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Ezekiel 36, yes, you found it? All right, go to verse 24. Verse 24, 36, 24, kind of spells it out for us, doesn't it? Let's look at it. Everybody there, those of you with us online, Ezekiel 36, 24. Word of God reads, "For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land." Hallelujah. Amen. "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you," oh, look at this, here we go. "Moreover, I will give you," oh, hallelujah, here it is. "Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you." That's shouting ground right there, amen. "And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." And He says, "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you'll be careful to observe my ordinances." Pretty good, amen. Spells it out, doesn't it? See, even in the Old Testament times, the prophets, they were pointing forward in saying that ultimately cleanness can only come by the work of God Himself. True cleanness can only come when the internal part of man is transformed, when he is cleansed, and when he has a heart of flesh rather than a heart of stone. In other words, cleanness can only come ultimately through the new covenant and through the coming of Jesus Christ, whose blood cleanses us from all sin. And so the prophets, they look forward to that. Yes, yes? Which brings me to my last little ditty tonight, my last little point, my last little thing I want to say, and that's cleanness or uncleanness in the New Testament. Examples of this clean concept, where do we find them? We come to the New Testament, we discover immediately that our Lord begins to talk in terms of clean. Our Lord, Jesus, He talks in terms of clean and unclean. Kind of pivots off what these Old Testament prophets have been saying, clean and unclean, kind of a continuation of the Word of God. Because He is the Word of God, He begins to talk in terms of clean and unclean, and particularly as the scribes and the Pharisees are disputing with Him. In Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 7, for example, they debate about whether Jesus and his disciples can come in from outside and then begin to eat dinner. And they have not ceremonially, ritually, if you will, washed their hands. Well, what's going on here? Well, this is something the Jews added to the interpretation and the meaning of the Old Testament. The first century Jews had more emphasis on cleanliness that was by their tradition than it was by Scripture. Now, let's look in the New Testament. This will be our last passage we peruse through tonight. Mark's Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Going to Mark 7. Mark 7, beginning in verse 1. Let me get a drink. I'll let you find that. Mark 7, beginning in verse 1. Word of God reads the Pharisee. 7. Mark chapter 7. Beginning in verse 1. The Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered around him when they had come from Jerusalem and had seen that some of his disciples were eating their bread with impure hands, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing the traditions of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they cleanse themselves, and there are many other things which they have received in order to observe, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and copper pots. The Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with impure hands?" And he said to them, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me.'" Do you get it? They got the external clean part, but they were totally missing the internal clean part. Amen? "But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men, neglecting the commandment of God you hold to the tradition of men." He was also saying to them, "You're experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'He who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death.' But you say, 'If a man says to his father or his mother, what I have that would help you is Corban, that is to say, given to God,' you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many such as that." After he called the crowd to him again, he began saying to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside the man which can defile him if it goes into him, but the things which proceed out of the man are what defile the man. So eat all the mud bugs you want to eat." Amen. That's what I'm saying, right? Right? You see that? Amen? Verses 17, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Verse 16, we read further as we see how Mark says parenthetically in verses 17 through 19, "When he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples questioned him about the parable. And he said to them, 'Are you so lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach, and is eliminated? Thus he declared all foods clean.'" Hallelujah. Amen. Right. And so what can we say about this matter with the Pharisees? Well, the truth was there in plain sight. I mean, the truth was there in plain sight. Jesus was standing before them in plain sight, right? His disciples, though not perfect, his disciples, though not understanding that he's going to die for their sin, his disciples not quite clicking all the way, yet his disciples were clean on the inside, right? Yet these Pharisees and scribes were clean on the outside, but ulcerous and filthy on the inside. Amen? The truth was there in plain sight, but no one really understood the implications of what Jesus was saying. His disciples certainly did after his death, and certainly more so after his resurrection, and certainly more so after his ascension, and certainly more so as their impending deaths approached, and certainly more so as they left this world and stood in his presence. Amen? They finally got it. And so we understand it what? More and more and more. Or at least I hope you do. Amen? At least I hope you do. What's the point, preacher? You want to be clean on the inside? Clean on the inside. Did I fail to pray for this young lady? Did I pray for her? I don't think I did. Let's close the service praying for her. Amen? I had her picture up here, but I did not have her written down on my prayer list. So let's close the service lifting up this young lady. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and as we close our service, we think about this child of yours, Lord, this creation of yours, little Miss Kay Alana Turner, mid-20s, and Lord, she's having some manic episode. She's having some difficulty with the chemicals in her brain, and Lord, you know the details of all this. And Lord, she's run away from home, and she's displaced. Last time she was seen, Lord, was in Harris County here, just south of here. And Lord, we're praying that you would just allow good people, kind people, friendly people, Christian folk, to come across her and find her. Lord, I pray that she would not find her way into any kind of sex trafficking or any kind of prostitution or any kind of drug abuse. But Lord, you would save this girl. You would physically save her, return her back to her family, and Lord, allow her to get her head straight and her mind right. And Lord, we're just praying for a miracle. We're praying for a miracle of discovery, of her being discovered and found. And Lord, I pray you might allow just some good folks, some friendly folks, some kind folks to find her. Police, sheriff's department, somebody, God, stumble across this young girl and get her help. So Lord, help us be on the lookout. Help us think about her often until she's found. We pray she be found alive. And Lord, we're just praying for a good testimony of deliverance and this young lady being found. Thank you, Lord, for our study tonight. Thank you for those that wanted to be here that couldn't. We pray for those that are traveling. Lord, give them safety. Watch over them. Lead, guide them, direct them back to your church home. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed. All right, all right. Thank you, online folks. We'll see you Sunday. What'd your mama think?